on page 6, so there are four columns on page 6. There's the second column at the bottom, where it says, HaKoyach Shel Yosef. And Ois Ches, where it says, HaKoyach Shel Yosef. We're talking about milchamas. We're talking about milchamas, not milchamas, God forbid, the type of milchamas where there is a loss of life, but the milchamas of life itself, the day-to-day milchamas, the wars, the struggles. And we've been talking about, from the beginning, something that changes every year from the time of Tisha B'Av. There is this birth of this Nitzaitz, this reality of Mashiach inside of each and every Jew, which we learned by Arichas. Now we're talking about Mashiach ben Yosef inside of us and Mashiach ben David. We have two Mashiachs, two Kaiches that we have. And we learned last week, we were talking about this, that we see by Yitzias Mitzrayim, we see the Koyach of Mashiach ben David in the form of Haisa Yehud Lekadshov Yisrael Mam Shaloysov, that the one who was prepared to lead Bnei Yisrael into the water was Nachshon ben Aminadav from Shevet Yehuda. And that's the Koyach of Malchus based David, Shevet Yehuda. On the other hand, Kriyas Yamsuf, which of course was the completion of the redemption of Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf would take place with the Koyach of the Aron Yashar Yosef, the bones of Yosef at Tzadik that were being carried through the water. Hayom Ra'av Yonis, Hayadein Yisav La'ochar, Hayom Ra'av Yonis, Chazal say, what did the ocean see that caused it to retreat, to run away? It saw the Aron Yashar Yosef, it saw the ark that was carrying the bones of Yosef at Tzadik, and that this would cause the water to retreat. So apparently, in order for us to make it through the Yam, and all of life, we're facing these Yams, these Yamim, these oceans. Anytime a person has to struggle, anytime there's something that's obstructing his path to Eretz Yisrael, not literally Eretz Yisrael, although we should all be hoping Mitzvah Shem to return there, but Eretz Yisrael meaning the Tachlis of who I could be. So anytime there's something that's preventing us from reaching that point of Eretz Yisrael inside of ourselves, finding redemption, so we need the two Goyalim, the two redeemers. We need the two warriors, Yehuda, David HaMalach, Malchus Bez David, Mashiach Ben David, and Yosef HaTzadik, Mashiach Ben Yosef. And we learned last week how the mistake that we've been talking about over the past few weeks is this misconception that we have that when a person faces difficulties in life and when things come with great milchamas, whether it has to do with raising a particular child, or has to do with tikkun hamidus with myself, when it comes to davening, when it comes to controlling one's taivus, each person has his and her own milchamas. So the nature of a person is to believe that those milchamas, the fact that I have a milchama, is a proof, an indication that in this area I'm not matzliach. This is something in my life which is a sore point. I would be best to avoid this area of my life because I'm obviously not matzliach here, the haraya, and the proof is that I'm constantly struggling here. It never comes to me in an easy way. The nature of a person is to believe that those things that come easily. For instance, if somebody were to try to play a musical instrument and is not musically inclined, so it's very, we become used to this when it comes to Yiddishkeit also, since I know that I'm not musically inclined, I can't carry a note, and my mother had these dreams of me playing an instrument, those dreams were not to be met. Fulfilled. So we carry this into our lives of Avodas Hashem, and we think that, well, I guess I'm not davening inclined. I guess I'm not housekeeping inclined. I guess I'm not tikkun of my kas, of my anger, of my taiva for this or for that, and so on. And we tend to incline ourselves towards those areas in life where we feel that we have natural talents and we feel good about how we're able to succeed in those areas. Now, what we learned last week in the context of the two Mashiachs, Mashiach Ben David, Mashiach Ben Yosef, which we're going to continue with in a minute, we learned that an amazing thing happened when we left Mitzrayim. We thought that when we were leaving Egypt, that was it. Our enemy was finished. It was done. And because we understood that the meaning of redemption, what is redemption? I mean, redemption means Seif HaMais, again, it's finished. Because we always associate Geula with what? With the final Geula that's going to be Mishem, hopefully very soon, with Mashiach, with Mashiach ben David. And we associate that with everything, all the struggles being finished, and everything being good, and everything being wonderful, and everybody being happy together, and so on. But the truth is that when we left Mitzrayim, we were expecting to have a complete and total redemption. And for a couple of days, it looked like that was going to happen. And before we knew it, we turned around, and there's the whole Egyptian army was chasing us again. And we spoke about, why did Hashem do that? Why did he do such a thing? The Baruch Shem could have made the whole redemption nice and clean. It didn't have to be in such a way where we would experience the excitement of being redeemed from the shrine, only to what? Only to face the horrible, horrible challenge of another milchama, of another war by Kriyas Yamsuf, by the Yam, by the ocean. And if not for the koach of Yehuda, of Malchus Beis David, Mashiach ben David, and if not for the koach of what? Of Atzmus Yosef, the bones of Yosef HaTzadik, the presence of Yosef HaTzadik, we would not have been able to make it. As a matter of fact, we learned last week that the fiercest struggle would take place Davka by the ocean, and the greatest, our enemy, the Egyptians at that time, had gathered such strength, which to us was a wonder. How could it be after what happened in Mitzrayim? And in Egypt they got such makis, the 10 makis, and they got clapped, and everything was, we thought was finished. And nachamol. Why did that happen? Why did Baruch Shalom do that? So we learned last week, because our mistake is thinking that Geula means Geula within the framework of what? Of life before Mashiach Tzakeinu. We think that Geula, that the Geula from Mitzrayim meant that from then on there wouldn't be any struggles. That was it. It was going to be fine. From then on it was going to be terrific, and it was going to be just beautiful, smooth sailing all the way to Yerushalayim. We'd build a Beis HaMikdash again, it would be wonderful. And Lamaisa, that's not what happened. The Rebbe Shalom is teaching us that the Inyan of Geula does not mean, until the final redemption, Geula does not mean that there are no more struggles, there are no more wars. Geula does not mean that everything's clear and everything is simple. Geula means, and this was a big yisod that we learned last week, Geula means this, as it says when we left Egypt, Chamushim olu bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Chamushim means that we were armed. Geula means that Hashem Yisbarach gave us, when we left Egypt, He gave us all the kaiches that we would need in this world to fight the milchamas against our enemies. External enemies, God forbid, and the internal enemy. Whatever shape or form that internal enemy takes. Within one person, it has to do with gaiva. With the other person, it has to do with anger. With this person, it has to do with different taivas. Every person has their own milchamas. One person, the milchama is how to raise my children. The other person's milchama is how could I raise myself in the absence, God forbid, of children, where I can't imagine living without children. There are people who are not blessed with children. And that's that individual's milchama. And everybody has their milchamas. And the Baruch Shalom never told us that this world is a world without milchamas. And that's why right after the redemption, a week after we left Mitzrayim, it was another milchama. It was another war. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us that not only was it another war, but the Egyptians, Omar Oyev Erdav Asig Achalik Shalol Tim Leimanavshi, that the Egyptians came with fresh akaychus, with fresh anger and strength to destroy us, and we had to fight again. And this kayach to fight is something which we receive from Yehuda and from Yosef, from Malchus Beis David and from Malchus of Yosef HaTzadik, from Leah Imenu and from Rachel Imenu. Now there's a difference between the koiches that we receive to fight these milchamas. So on page 6, as I said, the second column, on the bottom where it says, HaKoyach Shal Yosef. HaKoyach Shal Yosef, or HaKoyach Shal Kidei Shem Shemayim B'Seisef. What does Chazal say about Yosef HaTzadik? Chazal themselves have told us that there's a difference between Yosef HaTzadik and Yehuda. Yosef HaTzadik's, both of them are Kaddish Shem Shemayim. Both Yosef and Yehuda sanctified Hashem's name, but there's a very important difference between how they did it. Yosef HaTzadik's Kiddush Hashem took place in a very private way. If not for it being written up in Chumash, none of us would know about it. The whole Indian of Yosef HaTzadik was that he was Makadish Shem Shemayim B'Seisa, that nobody knew about those struggles that he had in the house of Potiphera and what he went through. That was something that was not public knowledge. So he was Makadish Shem Shemayim B'Seisa. B'Seisa means in a hidden, concealed way, in a hidden place. Yehuda was Makadish Shem Shemayim the Goli, but for Hesia. His Kiddush Hashem was when he publicly stated, even though it was a horrible, horrible humiliation for him, it was so disgraceful for him to say in front of Lufnei Am Ve'Eda. Here he was known as the greatest of the brothers, as the holiest great tzaddik, and here he had to admit to this to Tamar, he had to admit. And say, and he said, Sadka Mimeni, that she's more righteous than I am. In other words, he had to admit to doing something which, to this day, we're not quite sure what to do with. And, you know, when it's skipped in yeshiva and everything, we're not quite sure what to make of it. Of course, not to say that it's not from the, of course, it's not from the deepest and most beautiful parts of the Torah. It's just that it's hard for us to understand. And therefore, especially with the children, we don't know how to explain it, that Yehuda would do such a thing. And it was out there in the open. And Yehuda said, Sadkimimani, Lamaisa. Yehuda, in front of everybody, said that I was wrong. She's more righteous than I am. And Mashiach ben David comes from that relationship. I mean, the whole thing is a pella. At any rate, this is the difference that Chazal... the Chazal pointed to. There are many, many differences. Yehuda and Yosef, Leah and Rachel, are two different worlds, mamish. And I've spoken about that many times in the past. It's not really for now to go into so much. It's a huge inyan, Rachel and Leah, Yosef and Yehuda, and the two Mashiachs, in the writings of the Vilna Gaon, a whole history of Klal Yisrael. And everything that's happening right now in Eretz Yisrael and within Klal Yisrael can be understood in light of the two Mashiachs, trained Mashiach, the writings of the Ramchal in his Svarim, Bas Tundis, and all of his Svarim. There's much, much written about Rachel and Leah, about the two worlds of Yosef HaTzadik and Yehuda, and the difficulties that they had between them, the Malchus of David and the Malchus of Yisrael, as you all know. But this is a point that Chazal made, that Yosef HaTzadik is Mekadosh Shem Shemayim B'Seisa. Let's go further. So therefore, when we want to know in our lives, what's the koyach of Mashiach ben Yosef inside of us? What does that help us with? How can we daven for that? How can we tap into that koyach of Yosef HaTzadik in the wars that we have in life, in the milchamas of life, in each and every one of our kriyas yamsevs that we have to go through to pass through oceans in this world? So who zocha lilchem milchama atzuma? Chazal tell us that it's impossible for us to understand what Yosef HaTzadik went through, because we have no hasaga, we have no understanding of what a disgusting place he was in. And the place of Potiphar, what a dark and disgusting and low place he was in. And that time, remember, he was completely by himself. Mashiach came with Yehuda. Yehuda was surrounded by all of his loved ones, by the entire mishpacha. Remember that Yosef HaTzadik was in a strange place, all by himself. We can't even imagine. And Chazal tell us what Chazal had a Kabbalah. They knew what kind of a woman this person was, and what he had to go through, and the bizyonis, and then being in jail. Everything that Yosef HaTzadik went through was the most difficult nisayon that we can't even imagine. Sham Davka who locham esom lochamis hakoshim b'yaiser avur ritzain Hashem Yisbarach. Davka in that loneliness, in that terrible state of loneliness, all of us need, you know, when you're feeling bad, when you're going through a nisayin, you have tremendous chizik when you see a familiar face, or when you see someone that knows you and that loves you and that supports you, even if the person doesn't say anything. But if you know that there's someone that always cares about you and is takes your side and is with you, it can give you tremendous chizik to be able to get through the nisyanis. Yosef HaTzadik had no one. He was absolutely alone by himself. And he went through that, and he fought those milchamas for the sake of what? Of remaining attached to Hashem's will. Ubezeu is gabra l'habes Esav kash. And this is how he was able to defeat the world of Esav, which is compared to straw, where the Navi says that the fire of Yosef will destroy the straw of Esav. Es Yosef lehava. What is the fire of Yosef HaTzadik? The fire of Yosef HaTzadik is that you and I have the ability, even when we're completely alone. This I've spoken to men about this barichas, because for men nowadays, especially for men, of course there are many, many women that are at work also, but it's not like it used to be. Many women are in offices or at work. But certainly it's more so for the men that al pi rov, unless a man is zeichet to be in Melachas HaKadosh in something in Melachas HaKadosh. But generally, a man that's in an office, he's someplace in an office, and he has to contend. Baruch Hashem, I'm sure that most of them have no hasag at all of what their husbands are contending with on a day-to-day basis. It's impossible to understand the difficulties and the struggles that they have for Shmiras Einayim, and to have their eyes in the right place and their minds in the right place, and it's not the thing to be marich now, to go into Arichas, but the nisyonis of the Yosef at Tzadik's, our generation has never had these type of nisyonis. Ad kedei kach. Have never had these. There have always been nisyonis. But the nisyonis of Yosef at Tzadik to be by yourself in a place, especially now, where a person can sit, God forbid, a person can sit, he could be in his office at 12:30 in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning, and there's the computer and all these different things, the nisyonis of a person by himself, with not being in a place surrounded by this chaskas of his loved ones, men that have to be go out on the road to different places and meet all different kinds of people. And the nisyonis nowadays of Yosef HaTzadik, to be able to remain at Tzadik in Erev HaSa'aretz, in a place of impurity, it's hard for us to be masik. But this is the inyan of Yosef being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Seisa. It's not written up in the newspaper. Nobody knows about it. No one gives him a pat on the back of whether that man in the office turned his head when he was supposed to turn his head, whether he laughed at a crude joke or he kept to himself. Was he Mekadesh Shem Shemayim in everything that he did in that world of Mitzrayim? This is the koyach that Yosef HaTzadik has given each and every one of us. Each and every one of us has been given the koyach of Yosef HaTzadik to fight these quiet, hidden wars that nobody will know about. Of course, a war, the most difficult wars are the wars that we have with Amalek. And Yosef has the ability to burn, to destroy, the power to destroy the presence of Esav of Amalek. Shemizar shel Esav ashekseiv be'al charb chasichya, who lives by the sword. Esav lives by the sword. Vayidei ha'koyach shel Yosef shenuma beis Yosef lahava. Next column. And the strength of Yosef HaTzadik, it says in Pasuk, is beis Yosef lahava. Beis Yosef is a fire, mamash a fire. Shalheves shaylet l'merachayik. What's the difference between Eish and Shalheves? Because it says in the Pasuk, Beis Yaakov is compared to an Eish, but Beis Yosef is compared to a Lahava. Lahava is the Lashon of Shalheves. What's a Lahava? A Lahava is something that is a powerful, like a conflagration, mamish. It's not just, an Eish could be a little, sort of a localized little flame, but a fire is Yosef HaTzadik, and that's based Yosef Lahav Shal Heves Shalit L'Merachayik. It goes a great distance. Ideas and Nitn Koyach Atzum Laal Hiv Halev LaShem Zbach B'Chol HaMakom Esam Ruchakim. And this gives the Jew, this gives each and every one of us the power and the ability to feel his slavus, a great tremendous passion for the Baruch Shalom and a love of Yiddishkeit, and a commitment to Torah Mitzvahs, even in those places that are miruchakim, that are very far away from holiness, that are far from holiness. V'lisroif is kol ha'tumis shel Esav ha'amalek, and to be able to burn away all the tumis of Esav and Amalek. V'lefnei bias Mashiach, and in our days, before Mashiach, these last moments before Mashiach comes, b'b'chinas shel ikvus de Mashiach, we're now at the end, the ekev, the heel. The most difficult nisyanis are now. B'sim shel galus edom. We're at the conclusion of galus edom, the end of this galus. Shos mezgarba b'chinas shel ekev esav. And at this time in history, the ekev of esav, the heel of esav, that seeks to stomp upon us and destroy us. And it doesn't only mean physically through the anti-Semites in Europe and the shluchim, the Arabs in the Middle East. It doesn't only mean physically to stamp us. It means in every respect to destroy each and every one of us, chalila. As I zelu mazeh hayosev ikar koyach shel Esav hu milchama. The power of Esav was given the blessing of al-charb chasichya. It means to live by the sword. That means that Esav is extremely adept at fighting. Esav is very, very great warrior. And that means that in our lives, that Kayach of Esav that we have to deal with is very, very talented at finding ways to fight against us, to tear us away from Hashem. Every time we think we've gotten through one thing, I just found out today that there's this thing called DVD. I heard the recitators, because in shul sometimes the guys say they're going to put on DVD. I was always embarrassed to ask what it means. So today I was told what it means, a DVD. So now there's a new thing that a person can have the respectability of having a computer. I mean, I guess unless I have this wrong, it looks like a computer, and everybody thinks you're just a hush of a person that's working on, like, you know, look up Encyclopedia Britannica or something, and you can take some stupid movie, it's on a DVD, and you put it on a disc, and you close the door, and you could watch the whole Tomb of Mitzrayim, you know, in the comfort of the locked room on this new tumor. Maybe I'm just a little bit behind. So, but it seems to me that every step that we take to run ahead, it comes one step running after us. My wife and I were at a conference last year, and there was like the whole theme of the conference was how the tumah is destroying all the boys in yeshiva, you know, and everybody's being destroyed, and to find new technology to keep it away from the boys, new technology, and we understand that it's ludicrous, because anything that they're going to find to keep some tumor away, anybody that wants to find the tumor, there's always things that are available, unless the boys learn to be God-fearing and to have the koyach of Yosef HaTzadik. If you're not Yosef HaTzadik, they could rig up your computer with every preventative measure, and anyway, you could just go to the library down the block,
where it's totally allowed,
or they go to university and it's encouraged, or they have a laptop computer. The whole thing is it, to me, was very pitiful, because the entire point of this conference was what are we going to do to prevent the boys from looking at these horrible things? Of course, you have to try to make yishtadlus to fix up, but that's not the point. The point is, what are we inspiring the boys? Are we teaching them more about their Baruch Shalom? Do they want to be better Jews? So it's easy to blame technology and to say the world stinks and the whole place is Mitzrayim, and we have to figure out new ways to keep Mitzrayim away from our boys. The tachlis of Yosef HaTzadik is that a Jew's avodas Hashem is a lahav, is a fire. Only when a Jew is a fire dike yid, only when he's a fire, can he burn away the tumah of Mitzrayim. Or else Esav is a very clever warrior. It says al chaber chasichya, the cherv, the sword of Esav does not only mean the sharp types that you know that were used in the old days. Esav has many different weapons in his arsenal, and all the Torah technology that they're going to come out with is never going to keep up with what's coming out. With what's coming out from the factories every day, new tumas. The only thing that could keep us in line is if we have the fire of Yosef HaTzadik. To be mekadesh shem shemayim b'seisa. Mekadesh shem shemayim b'seisa means, so they have all these things. Make sure, you know, you have the computer, so it has to be in a place where everybody can watch. It has to be like this, it has to be like that. All of these things, of course, they're necessary, but we understand that if that's the war that you're fighting in your home, it's already fafalm. Because if the child is not developing an inner light, a koich of Yosef HaTzadik, with a fire to be a big Jew and to want the right thing, of course we have to do whatever we can to make it easier, to remove the obstacles. We're always trying to do that. But what I'm saying is that ultimately, there's nothing we could do to prevent these things from surrounding us. There was this organization that was made a whole tumult about the internet, and they made the terrible mistake of allowing their stationery to circulate with that notice that was sent out to all the yeshivas, and on the bottom it said www on their own stationery. And then of course this was pointed out, and they had to make up a new stationery. But of course these are all games that are being played, that our kids are we don't give them enough credit. They're much smarter than they're given credit for. Any kid that wants to figure out how to get to a computer, you don't have to be a rugged shover or a Vilna Gaon to figure out how to get to a machine. The question is, are the yeshivas and are the homes building up the children with the koich of Mashiach ben Yosef? And that's not something you could just do in a day or in an hour. That the child should have a fire for Yiddishkeit. He should love being Jewish and want to be Jewish, so that when he looks at the street is nauseating to him, so that he wouldn't want to go for these things. and that's the hardest. That's the hardest thing in the world. So the yeshivas day and night are blaming the internet, civilization, society, and the boys here are million schmoozing about how the world stinks and the world is filthy and it's disgusting. The world is disgusting. They're trying to kill you. They're trying to destroy you. But why don't you tell them something about what good they have inside of themselves and how to cultivate the good? I'm not saying that nobody does this, but I'm saying that this is the side of making a person into such a person that he's not interested in these things, that they don't fascinate him. They don't seduce him, God forbid, or her. And unless they're inspired with a Yiddishkeit, unless there's a Beis Yosef Lahava, the fire of Yosef, only the fire of Yosef, it says, as we learned now, Yishadet Mirachai, can it burns even in a distant place. That means even when our children are not at home, they're not in the place where it's simple, where it's clear, where everything is okay, but when they grow up, And they go on their own. That these things are not things that they want. That they don't want them. You see, this is something which is missing. It's always a pellet to me. You know, you see, there's a different surah of a yeshiva boy in the summer. Not all. There's a different surah of a yeshiva bacher during the week, and then all of a sudden he comes to Shul Shabbos. You wouldn't even recognize him. Oh, Baruch Hashem, there's a Shabbos. All of a sudden, there's a different surah. You meet the same yeshiva bacher on a Thursday. You wouldn't see the connection between him and the Shabbos, the Gebacher. Thank God for Shabbos. Thank God for Shabbos. But the question is, in which outfit does the kid feel more comfortable? In his Shabbos one or his Motzei Shabbos one? Which persona does he identify with more? Does he wish he could be out of that whole suffocating atmosphere of the uniform? And delight in the freedom that he has, where he feels that he's able to dress and act and do whatever he wants. And this is the time that we're living in is such a difficult time. And somebody thinks that because he puts a certain color yarmulke in his head, it makes him to Yirei Shamayim. He puts a black yarmulke in his head, it makes him to Yirei Shamayim. Some Hezda guy that's in Kambiyavn in the Gush, he can look down upon because he goes the whole week. This kid might go the whole week like Mami, she'll excuse me, like a guy in the street. And he still will look down upon some guy that's a Hezda guy, you know, that could be the biggest Yirei Shamayim in the world. But he goes with a knitted yarmulke and he doesn't put on the Shabbos uniform that this kid puts on Shabbos. It's like putting on there's a mice with the Baal Shem. I'm not going to tell over the whole mice. But putting onto an animal a little hat and jacket and thinks all of a sudden he's a Yirei Shamayim. We're living in a very, very difficult time. And unless the child is filled with the fire of Yosef HaTzadik, makes no difference if he goes with Nidid Yarmulke or if he goes with a Shraimel and a Bekesh. If he doesn't have the fire of Yosef HaTzadik, he's not going to succeed. With these Muhammads that we're talking about, the real Muhammads, is he going to be honest in business? When a person's sitting there at work and all kinds of things that come his way, I have a shayla on the phone today from somebody from our shul about tshuva, and he's been about tshuva now for I don't know maybe 7-8 years, a very fine guy. That he doesn't know what to do. He says he's really for the first time in his life. Listen to this, I know it's sad to say, but for the first time in his life, he's in business with front people, and he says that everybody wants to deal with cash, everybody wants things off the book. There's this other guy that wants to get from me a $6,000 software program to be able to copy onto his thing for free, and he says, and they're all telling me that I'm allowed to do this, and I don't know, I just became religious. Doesn't seem to me like God would want me to do these things, and are these things allowed? And I'm dealing with, you know, he says, I don't know what to do. I'm dealing with all kinds of crookedness at work. And I was so excited to be with firm people and to work with firm people. And now I have terrible crookedness. That I don't know what to do. And I never had, it's a Kittrick and Kleiser. I didn't have this way. I used to be. I never had such games and such crookedness. So who knows when a person is by himself in his office or he's making a deal and it's with a Yid Lahavdil, it's with a guy, to be honest or to be dishonest. To play some game with taxes, to play some game with some laws in New York or in America, to do all kinds of things. That's Yosef HaTzadik. If you don't have Yosef HaTzadik, Jews are smart people. Am Chacham V'Navayin. There is always a way to outsmart. That's why it's hard in Eretz Yisrael, because they have a whole country of Yidden. Nobody knows what to do over there because everybody's so smart. But in America, Baruch Hashem, there are always ways for a Jew to be Matzliach. more so than the Ummah Islam, the nations of the world, because we're survivors and we're smart. The question is, are you stealing from Goyim? Are you stealing? Are you an honest person? This is the Mekadesh Shem Shemaim B'Seiser. I have a yid from the shul. Let's say the first name, I'm talking about Jay. There was a yid from the shul that had a shaila. There was a shaila that was $13,000 that somebody totally forgot about. And he asked me, and we spoke about what kind of a place it is that forgot, and so on and so forth. And we went into the shaila, and I told him that Lamaisa, al pi halacha, he should give the $13,000. And this was when he was going through a difficult time. Baruch Hashem, now he's very much lich. So the next day he came to shiur. The next day he said, Rabbi, I took care of him. I sent the $13,000. The next day, couldn't call to ask a shayla, just to ask a shayla. Right? How many times we're afraid to even ask a shayla because we don't want to hear. Why am I going to talk to some rabbi? Why am I going to talk to some rabbi? What am I going to go talk? I'm going to hear something about being honest and straight and all these things that are going on. Nebuch. So, what gives a person the koyach of Beis Yosef L'Hava is something that's inside of a person. It's something inside. And if the boys and the girls are not being taught in yeshiva and in the home about what it means to be honest, and instead of being brought up and everything is the sheikh is the sheikh to the guy to the guy, and this feeling that a person is able to do whatever he wants with an andere mentions geld and to play games with somebody else's money, and this is like, and people laugh about it, this is part of Golas, this is how we live, you know, as if we're in Krakow in 1925 or something. We're not, and there's a din v'cheshbon, and every single penny that a person takes is not his own. And if a person can get away with it and no one's going to catch him, there's only one koyach. It's called Beis Yosef L'Hava. Beis Yosef L'Hava. That's all. It has to be the fire of Yosef HaTzadik, who's Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Seiser, in a hidden way. And that's what he explains. In the Ikras of the Mashiach, he says, this is what's going on. Like the 7th, 8th line. B'Yisim Shal Golas Adam, Shal Mizgar B'Chinah Shal Eikav Esav, Azai Zelu Mazeh HaYosef V'Ikar HaKoyach Shal Esav Hu Milchama. Esav is a very, very powerful warrior. Very powerful. That's the strength that Esav has, is the strength of Cherev, of the sword. Achar B'Chesich Yilchein, Ikar HaAvayd L'Fnei B'Yis Mashiach Yimilchama. Therefore the main Avayd before Mashiach comes is fighting Esav, is the Mechamas. It's not a bedevit, it's not because we're losers, it's not because we're not matzlich, it's because that's our avoda before Mashiach comes, and Hashem gave us the weapons and the koyach. We're going to learn about Kriyashma, we're going to have a whole new way of understanding Kriyashma. We'll get to it in Shem, maybe we'll start a bit, we'll start today, we'll finish next time with that. The whole koyach of Kriyashma, the 248 words of Kriyashma, which is the Gematria Romach, that a person has the ability to have this weapon to be able to fight against the cher of the sword of what? Of Esav HaRosh. And he says, Chen Ikah Avaydol Fnei Bias Mashiach Yim Melchama, Melchama Hashem. V'ikah HaLoichem Shel HaMelchama Hazu V'akayach Shei Yosef HaTzadik. And the Ikah HaLoichem, and the one who was the greatest in this was Yosef HaTzadik. We didn't talk yet about Yehuda, but this is the koyach of Yosef HaTzadik. And each and every one of us has that within us. All of us, even though most of us, of course, are descendants of Leah. Most of us now are descendants of Leah Imenu, not Rachel Imenu. Nevertheless, every single Jew has within him, within her, the koyach of Rachel and the koyach of Leah. And the ikar koyach of Rachel Imenu, of Yosef HaTzadik, is the Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Seiser. And we see this with another descendant of Yosef HaTzadik, Binyamin, and of the house of Rachel, Yeshua. Shalom Kosov, what does it say by Yeshua? Yeshua was the first one to lead us in a war against Amalek. It was Yeshua. Moshe ben Nadavke placed Yeshua in charge of that. As it says in Pasuk, Tsei Hilochim Ba'amalek Machar. It says in Pasuk that Yeshua was told to go out and to fight against Amalek tomorrow. That machar, that tomorrow, is very, very important. Because it's that word machar that gives us the strength even now. Because machar means doesn't only mean the next day. Machar means every tomorrow. That's why if you look in the Megillas Esther, you'll see the word machar repeated more than any other sefer in Tanakh in Megillas Esther. Without going into that right now. Because any time we're empowered in our struggle with Amalek through the house of Yosef at Tzadik and Rachel, which is of course in Megillas Esther, there it's Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai and Esther are from the children of Rachel Imenu, the descendants of Rachel Imenu. Yosef at Tzadik, Binyamin at Tzadik. So anytime we feel overwhelmed by the presence of Amalek, we remember that Hashem gave us the Korach, as he told Yeshua, say, Hilachem be'Amalek machar, tomorrow. Tomorrow means what? Yesh machar la'achazman. Machar does not only mean the next day mamish. It means what? It means, machar means all tomorrows, all times in the future. When it says in Torah, machar, tomorrow, it means for every single Jew at any time, anywhere, any place. It means machar, it means tomorrow. It means every tomorrow. Ad soif kol hadayos, to the end of all generations. V'omru chazal, yovah mishenema bayas alakim ani yarei. And therefore Chazal tell us that who was the one who was described as being God fearing? Yosef HaTzadik was the one who said in Mitzrayim, all by himself, without his mommy, his daddy, anybody else there, he said, I fear only Hashem. When you have that attitude, when you have that way of thinking, so then you could contend with every new DVD and DCs and CDs and CVS, whatever it is. Oh, CVS is a drugstore. You could fight all the milchamas, whatever the recitatives are. You could fight against all the karchas of tumah when you live with what? It's Elokim ani yirei. It's Hashem who I fear. You remember in the Chumash, I'm not going to go into the whole story now. It was a whole question, halacha. If the Nadav and Avihu died, so there was a question about whether there should be the eating of the karbonis. Normally a person who's God forbid an onen, where the person wasn't buried, then I'll have to eat a karbon. Okay, there's a whole shiloh with what Aaron should do. Aaron, of course, was the Kohen Gadol. We're not going into all the halachas now. But it was a question. But in Chumash, it says that Aaron asked Moshe Rabbeinu, Hayitav be'enei Hashem. Listen to the words. The sweetest words in the entire Chumash. Aaron asked Moshe Rabbeinu, Hayitav be'enei Hashem. What I did, was it good in God's eyes? And it says there right afterwards that in Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes, it was very good. So the Yisrael HaVayit, the first one of the Rebbe said, what did Moshe Rabbeinu, that it was good in Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes? In other words, what was good in Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes was the fact that his brother asked this question, Hayitav b'nei Hashem. Hayitav b'nei Hashem means there are many, many things in life where it's not clear in Shulchan Aruch. Like when this fellow came to ask me about the $13,000, maybe he could have drained himself around like many people do when it comes to money. And could have found somebody or somebody that said, yeah, I heard from Rav Moshe, I heard from this one or from that one. You know how people throw around names when it comes to finding a tayr. So I heard that it's mutter. But when you have a Jew whose way of living is what? This question always, Hayitav be'inei Hashem. He always is wondering, is this good in God's eyes? Same thing when it comes to the inyanim of kedusha, of tznius. You could get away with a certain, forgive me, because I know it's not good for men to talk about things that have to do with women, but you seem like an honest bunch. So when it comes to the inyanim of tznius, you could always say that I know that this rabbitson wore that kind of dress, or I know that this person does this and this one does that. But if you're going to stop and ask, Hayitav b'nei Hashem, when you take that last look in the mirror, women are kaseda looking in mirrors, or whenever they're walking in the street, they look into windows and stores to see how they look. It's never that they didn't see. It's never a shayla. So when a person, that's okay. That's a lechatchim. A person should care about how she looks. But a person asks, Hayitav b'nei Hashem. Not Hayitav b'nei Baili. That's also a big question. Is this good in my husband's eyes? That's nice. But the ikka question is always Hayitav b'nei Hashem. Hayita ben Hashem. Forget about what I read in this book or that article, or this rabbi or that, or I saw this. Well, the latest is like this. Hayita ben Hashem. Hashem Yisbarach gave a koyach to every Jew to know in the deepest way what is pleasing to Hashem. I'm not talking about people who didn't grow up in yeshivas. Obviously, if someone grew up on a surfboard someplace in California, then it's not a time. I'm talking about us. What books we read, how we spend our time, where we go on vacations, and so on and so forth. Everybody could say Hayitav Ben Hashem. You can make all kinds of games up, and to say that I know this one does it, and that one does it, and what's wrong with it? By Neila Yom Kippur, you know what's wrong with it. And a person asks, Hayitav Ben Hashem, is this pleasing to God? Is this something which makes him happy? And Moshe Benu, when he heard his brother say that, Moshe Benu, it says it was very good in Moshe Benu's eyes. What does it mean? Vayitav Ben Moshe? Because Moshe Benu says, wow, that's the way that a person has to live in this world. It's not just what it says in this book or that book, or what I heard or what I read. It's to always wonder, Hayitav Ben Hashem. So Yosef HaTzadik's way was what? Eselukim HaNiyarei. Don't tell me that everybody from my class does this. The famous sentence of every single teenager. Why should I be different from my friends? And we criticize the children for talking that way. You know, my son, we do the same thing. I mean, just it's a little bit more sophisticated. But it's the same thing. Instead of wondering, Hayitav Be'ene Hashem. So by Yosef HaTzadik, what's the fire of Yosef HaTzadik? It's a lekim ani yerei. So Chazal say, Yova mishanema by Yosef lekim ani yerei, only the one who said, I fear Hashem and only Hashem, only he has the ability to fight the war against what? The mishanema by v'lo yerei elokim. Who does it say? About whom does it say v'lo yerei elokim? It says that about Amalek. Amalek is v'lo yerei elokim. Right? Hu locham im kol ha-koichet shel krius shel Amalek. Yosef is a fire, and Yosef is the HaTzadik is the koich for each and every one of us, even now, machar, to fight against what? To fight against the coldness of Amalek. It says by Amalek, asher koich habaderech. Soon it's going to be Kiseitze. At the end of Kiseitze, the last pasuk, Yizoch is asher soloch Amalek, that we read by Pasha Zoch. And there it says, asher koich habaderech, that chanced upon us, that came upon us. But Chazal learned that asher koich is lashon of kiriris. That the nature of Amalek is to cool a person off, to make a person's Yiddishkeit cold. And Yosef HaTzadik is what? Yosef HaTzadik is Beis Yosef Lahav, is the fire of Yiddishkeit. And that's the only thing that will keep a person really. The only thing that will keep a person is the Beis Yosef Lahav. HaKoiches Shechnisu Refidim V'Nechsholim Zeha Kol Hayim HaKoich Yosef HaTzadik. All the koiches that we had to overcome the weakening, as it says by the war with Amalek, Anecha Shalom Acharecha, that we were weak and we were feeling very fragile and lost, and only with the power of Yosef Tzadik. Because what he says, Yosef Tzadik says, no matter how alone you are, no matter how it seems to you that you can't possibly be victorious, it's not true. You can fight and you could win. This milchama, you could win this milchama, as it says about Yosef Beis Yosef Lahava, as Rashi brings down, and you know from Chazal that with the chenvani, with the whole stack of straw of flax, like Rashi brings down, that one little flame, even though you could have tons and tons of straw, you put one little match, in seconds it's destroyed. The whole Esav is compared to Kash. It means it's very, very impressive. There's Hollywood and there's London and Paris. It's very, very big, the whole world of Yosef. And Yosef HaTzadik is Beis Yosef Lahava. Is the fire of Yosef HaTzadik. And the fire of Yosef HaTzadik means that you think that you're weak, you're not weak. Yosef HaTzadik was the youngest. I mean, Binyamin, of course, but Yosef HaTzadik, he was the Nair, he was the child. He was the one that seemed to be the weakest. He was Chlal B'Teva. He wasn't a warrior. He was a dreamer. His way was not to fight. He wasn't a fighter. B'Teva. He wasn't a fighter. That wasn't his Teva. His Teva was to be misboided in the fields and think about Hashem. He wasn't a fighter, B'Teva. And Davke, he has this power to overcome Amalek and Esav because it's Beis Yosef Lahav. It's the fire of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It's the fire of Yiddishkeit. And that's why when we cross through the Yam, it says, "Vayikach Moshe es atzmas Yosef imoy," that Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef HaTzadik with him. And we know that that was a very important part, a crucial part of redemption. And Yosef HaTzadik, this is all planned. We wouldn't be able to leave without his bones. And of course, atzamais, the bones doesn't just mean the bones, it means the atzmis. It means the essence of Yosef. The etzem means the essence. Atzmis Yosef is the essence of Yosef HaTzadik that each Jew has within him. Moshe Rabbeinu b'shas yitzias Mitzrayim lokach imos hakoyach shel Yosef HaTzadik. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he would have to take with him the koyach of Yosef HaTzadik. When all the other Jews were busy getting money and collecting their things and getting ready for yitzias Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu was busy with Atzmis Yosef. Because Moshe Rabbeinu knew that after the big party of Geula, there are going to come many wars in history. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the only way to win, the only way to fight, the only weapon that we have is via Beis Yosef Lahavis, Atzmus Yosef. That's the only way to fight. The Koyach of Yosef HaTzadik. It's the Atzmius Shal Yosef HaTzadik. It's a Mahus Vesanakuda Pnimis Aikarish Yosef HaTzadik. This inner point of Yosef HaTzadik, which means the ability to Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Seiser. It means to look at the whole world and to be able to stand up to the whole world. Not to back off, but to stand up to the whole world. Not to go along with what everybody else is doing. Is Yosef HaTzadik. Where even in that place, he didn't hide the fact that he was an Ivri, and he saw himself and he identified himself as a Nar Ivri, as an Ivri, a Yid. And an Ivri, of course, is particularly significant because the word Ivri, as Avraham Ivri, means Me'ever, means the whole world is on one side, and the Jew is on the other side, Me'ever. And a Jew has the Koyach through Yosef HaTzadik to fight, even though the whole world is against him. The whole world is against him. A Yid has a koyach of Beis Yosef Lahava. Shehaisa Mahus Shaloichim. This is the Mahus, the essence of what? Yosef HaTzadik, the bones of Yosef, means that a Jew has in his bones the ability to fight. To be a loichim, to fight. This makes our enemies absolutely crazy. Because traditionally, Goyim have this hasaga that Jews are supposed to roll over and die. And it's bothering them. Here, after all, these phony anti-Semitic buffoons in Scandinavia got up and they paskin that Jews can't build a wall. In other words, the Jews are supposed to let themselves get blown up. Every other country in the world could build walls to protect themselves, but Jews aren't allowed to have, right? Because we're afraid, because it causes traffic backups for the Palestinians. So Jews can't build a wall. So this is the newest tactic that's coming out from the world of Esav. It just comes into Yishmael, but it comes from Esav. It comes from Europe. Europe is the world center of Sinas Yisrael. That's really it. And that's why you see that the Muslims are just now catching on to Holocaust denying. All these things that the Europeans are very familiar with. The Europeans are very good teachers of the Arabs. And the Arabs have their own union of the Klai Yisrael, but not like Esav. Esav is a different parish. Yishmael and Esav are two different parishes. Al-Kopanim. There are some Jews in the world who are worried. What are the goyim going to say? And Ashreinu Matayv Chalkenu, there are still Jews in the world who have a spark of Yosef HaTzadik, who are able to look at all the Piskei Dinim of the United Nations and in The Hague and to say, who cares? We don't care. We don't care. and if we would have enough Jews like that in 1967. The Har Bais would have been taken back also, and the mosque would have been blown up. And if we had enough people like that, then there wouldn't be a shaila what's going to happen to Gaza. If we had enough of the koyach of Beis Yosef Lahava. I'm not talking politics. Yes, people in my shul, I don't even talk politics in shul at all. I'm talking about the koyach of Yisrael, the koyach to stand up and to say, Nah, I don't care what the world says, I don't care, no one's telling me what to do and how to be. This is Yosef HaTzadik. Unbelievable. The Koyach of Yosef HaTzadik. He's the Loichim of Klal Yisrael. Shekol kulo hayamoli milchamas. The life of Yosef HaTzadik was a life of milchamas. Of wars. And so Atzmi Yisazu. And this essence of Yosef HaTzadik, the bones, the essential Koyach of Yosef, Moshe Rabbeinu was very, very worried that he should travel with us into Golis. So even though he had a lot of things to do, Moshe Rabbeinu could have been busy with many things, but he took care of the bones of Yosef HaTzadik. And Moshe Rabbeinu did it himself. He made sure that it was taken care of, because he understood that this is not just a question of showing respect to the body of Yosef HaTzadik. It means the koyach of Yosef HaTzadik, the atzmius of Yosef, that have to travel with the Jewish people throughout Golis. Because there's no other way that we can make it through the Yamsus of this world without Yosef HaTzadik. And with this, Moshe Rabbeinu enabled each Navi Jew to recognize the chavivas, the preciousness of wars. Now, no, again, we spoke about this last week. What does it mean, chavivas of milchamas? Nobody wants to be in a war. But the Baruch Shalom places us, and has placed especially our generation, into what? Into this mitzvah where milchamas, we have to fight milchamas to mekadesh Shem Hashem. And therefore, instead of running away from milchamas, instead of being afraid of milchamas, Yosef HaTzadik gives each and every one of us the ability to take on those struggles of life and not to be afraid, not to run away from the milchamas, not to think that when there's a milchama, it means I got to get out of here, this is not for me. No, there's a milchama, you fight the milchama. You fight the milchama. There are people, listen, I'm never sure what to think about our brothers and sisters that are camped out in Old Hebron, you know? You have those people in Hebron. I never know what, like inside of me there's something that says, well, come on, why don't we just wait till Mashiach? You're in danger, you're in terrible danger. Because none of us want, we don't want to ever hear about anybody getting hurt. But on the other hand, I look at them and I say, boy, well, these are like Jews, but these are Jews. I mean, I'm just worried about them. But I say, but Akayach, because they say that, what do you mean? They're going to tell us to leave Hebron. They're going to tell us to leave Hebron. And here, every one of us, because there's some idiots that are shooting, I don't know what they're doing here all day, and we're sitting in some bungalow in the mountains, and everybody's ducking. And they're sitting in Hebron, we're afraid they're going to mistake a deer for a Jew. And there the Yishmaelim are aiming for Jews in Hebron, right? I'm not masking it at all. I'm not masking the gvura of Yidden, that Yidden have. Again, I'm not saying that I think that that's the best thing. It's not for me to judge anybody, but to admire them, wow. When I go to these Yeshuvim, I go to some Meshav, right? And the people like sitting in Flappish and Muncie and Bar Park critiquing whether or not the like this, like that, I should make an extension or not, right? And you have these Yidden that they live in these outposts, mamish, they put a flip there. It's a pellet to me. Again, I'm not saying whether I agree with it or not. That's not the point. But I don't have those kaiches. I don't think I have those kaiches. It's an amazing thing. It's a kaiches of a yid of Beis Yosef Lahava to look at the whole world and to say Afal Pichein. It's a Beis Yosef Lahava. It's Atzmus Yosef. Atzmius Yosef. Not to back off. Not to be ashamed of who we are. To live and to talk and to act and to dress and to be who we really, really believe in being and not to be afraid. My Yoimu Hagayim, what are they going to say about us? What are they going to think about us? What is my neighbor going to say? What's my friend going to say? What's my this, my that? The Koyach of Beis Yosef Lahav is unbelievable. We don't tap into it. We don't daven for it. We don't strengthen ourselves, but it's there. And this is the meaning of when we left Egypt, we left Mitzrayim, we were armed. Chamushim. We were armed. And we still are. Yosef HaTzadik made us take an oath. He made us take an oath that we would carry him out of Mitzrayim. And that means that we have the koyach of Yosef HaTzadik wherever we are. What does that mean, Nishbal Yitzray? Hashbei Hishbi. Yosef causes others to swear. It means, Lashbias Ayetz, it means that a person has the ability, like it says that before we were sent into this world, Mashbino say, Tehit Tzadik Val Tehirasha. That each and every one of our neshamas took an oath that we would be tzadikim. What's the purpose of taking an oath? It means to strengthen. I'm not talking halacha now. When we're allowed to do that. But when a person swears, when there's an oath, it means he gathers together all of his kaiches. To swear means I gather together all of my kaiches. Yosef, of course, is osaf elokim escherposi. The word Yosef also means to gather together, osaf. He was named osaf. Yosef is osaf elokim. It means to gather together all of one's kaiches. All of us kaiches is lahash nishbali yitzah, means to swear against not to give in to the yitzah. To cause one's Yetzer HaTov to swear, to be strong, to take an oath, a pledge of allegiance, to do the right thing. Shekavona b'zeh lesof is kol hashiva midas. Hashvei ashvua, an oath, is of course connected to the word sheva, which means seven. And all of us have seven basic midas. Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzach, Chayit, Yisrael, and Malchus. The basic seven karechas. We're not going to go into that now, but we have seven basic karechas. So Yosef HaTzadik is a lotion of Asifa, to gather together. And Shvua means seven. Yosef HaTzadik has the ability, what do you mean when you're fighting a war? When you're fighting a war, when a person is fighting, Shas Maisa, before he goes to the war, he can't imagine, how's he going to do this? How's he going to do this? But when he's in the Melchama, and he realizes what's at stake, and he has a chevra, and there's a person that's leading them, that all of the koichas are gathered together, and they're able to have some new energy, some new koich, to be able to fight against the enemy, that they would never think it was possible. So the Hashbei Hishbiya, Yosef HaTzadik is the ability what? To concentrate and to focus all of one's karchas to being victorious. That's the meaning of fighting in a Melchama. That in a Melchama, a person can't take his mind off it for a second. You can't take your mind off it for a second when you know that it's a Melchama. To be focused, Osaf Elokim, Osaf. Yosef means to add. Osaf, to gather together. Yosef and Asifa and Haisafa. And that's the koyach of all seven midas joined together. The lilchaim behem, the imaimis, melchemes Hashem, and use all of one's koyches and all of one's midas to fight the melchemes Hashem. So a few more minutes. So koyach shalai reinish Yosef. This is the koyach of the aron of the aron, the box that was carrying Yosef's bones. Hakoyach shal haatzmius shal Yosef. The essence of Yosef, it's like Shalav Kosova Yosem Ba'oren B'Mitzrayim. Regarding Yosef's bones, it says he was placed in the Oren in Egypt. Shoshanas Baruch Hinich has a Kerch Yosef, it's like Tomon Musta Ba'oifen Shiyar V'Yisayeb Kol HaMetzarim. What does it mean that Yosef was placed into this Oren in Mitzrayim? It means that when you and I are going through any of our Metzarim, any difficult times in life, Min HaMetzar Karasika, when any of us go through a difficult time, each and every one of us has hidden within us Vayosam Ba'aron B'Mitzrayim. Yosef HaTzadik is hidden in Mitzrayim. The Koyach of Yosef HaTzadik, which illuminates and helps us through all of our Mitzrayim, all of our difficulties, V'chol HaZmanav HaMakayim Mitzrayim Nemuchim, through all times and places that are low times and places, V'chol Inyonim She'ein Matzlichim B'Hem Kfi She'Raitzim, and all things in life where it's hard for us to see Hatzlacha, and we feel like giving up, Kol Inyonim She'esh B'Hem Hafroz Melchamas. Wherever there are difficulties, paro is a lashon of hafra. Paro means to bar. Paro is the letters hafra, which means to disturb, to obstruct, to disrupt you from being a Jew. That's called paro, from the word lahafria, to bother you, to try to get into your way. The kestel of Yosef HaTzadik. This is the basket of Yosef HaTzadik. This is the koyach of Yosef HaTzadik. HaKoyach HaMustah Shal Kidei Shem Shamayim B'Seisar. That each and every one of us has the ability to be Mekadei Shem Shamayim B'Seisar. HaKoyach HaMustahim Shal Tzadik. That each and every one of us has within us a Yosef HaTzadik. This koyach of Tzadik hidden within us. Shenim Tzoyim B'Tar Kol Echad Ve'echad, which is found in each and every one of us. V'alzeh Omar HaKosu Chagor Chaber Chal Yerach Gibor Hoidcha V'Hadarecha. Regarding this, it says in Pasuk, To put your sword, it's speaking to the warrior, and it says that to place your sword in its sheath on the side, and the sword is called Hoidcha V'Hadarecha. The sword of a warrior is called his splendor and his glory. Hoidcha V'Hadarecha. That's a funny term. Jews in general are not interested in swords and fighting. It's not our way. We like arguing about other things. And without weapons, we like arguing about Rashi and Tosis and things like that. We don't like fighting, and yet here it says, "Chager Chabachal Yerach Gibor Hoidcha V'Hadarecha," that the splendor and the glory of a warrior is his sword. Obviously, it's talking about something much deeper. It's not talking about that Hashem Baruch wants Jews to be walking around carrying weapons. That's not the lechatchil in this world to carry weapons. It means a different weapon. It means that we have to carry the sword wherever we go to be ready to fight and not to back off of a fight and to know and to rejoice in the melchamas that Hashem has given us the schus to fight for His sake and to fight His melchamas in this world. That even in halacha, that this soldier in halacha, we're not getting into the details of this halacha, but in halacha, even in a place where a person is not allowed to carry, the same way that the woman is allowed to wear jewelry, why is tachshitin? how is she allowed to go in a place where you can't carry? How come she's allowed to wear a necklace or a bracelet? Because tachshitin, one is allowed to wear. Tachshitin means adornments. And she's allowed to wear, it's part of her levush, to wear a bracelet or a necklace or something. That's her adornment. For a warrior, strictly speaking, is allowed, according to this view, is allowed to wear his sword, even on Shabbos, in a place where you can't carry. Why? Because it says it's like an adornment, it's a covet, it's a beautiful thing. The Jew has to know that. That the splendor and the glory of a Jew, his tachshitin, is what? Is his determination to be a Yosef, to fight, a Beis Yosef Lahava, not to be afraid, to go into the Muhammad's, not being depressed, not running away from them, taking on, if a person has a struggle with a certain midah of kas, taking on that midah, not running away from the war, taking on, you know, you have when a person in sports, so it's never, nobody's going to pay a lot of money to see some 300 pound boxer fight against some 120 pound guy. That's not a milchama, that's a joke. The whole excitement and the whole competition comes when we have two warriors that seem to have equal footing, and to see who's going to be misgaber. It's the whole milchama. And a person has to know that the fact that you have a person who naturally is very, very even-tempered and is very soft-spoken, that's not his milchama, that's not her milchama. So the fact that he's good at that or she's good at that, it could be there's a teva like that Baruch Hashem is very good. But then everybody has different milchamas. So for that person, it's a different milchama. And you have to, and that's where they pay the big, that's where they pay the big money, for the milchamas. Not the things that come naturally to you, not the things that are easy for you, that you don't have to struggle for, but in those areas where there's a milchama, and in those things, it's tachshitin heimlai. It's an adornment. So instead of a person thinking, "Ah, I can't believe it," there's so many times I tried fighting against that yetzar and I've lost, and I sometimes win and I lost. So a person thinks, "I'm a lo yuslach, I'm unsuccessful." Adarab, those are the tachshitin. When you come at 120, the Baruch Shalom says that you are a fighter, you are a warrior. In fights and wars, you sometimes lose, but you are always in the milchama. You didn't give up. You're in the milchama. You always tried. You always tried. And that's all the Baruch Shalom asks of a person. You are always trying. Whether you're going to succeed, that's the Baruch Shalom's inyan. But you were always in the milchama. You never ran away from the milchama. You were always in the milchama. You didn't just give into it. You didn't just say, "What am I going to do? All right, there's a problem. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at this. This is something I can never be good at. I can never be good at this thing. I'm always going to look at these things. I'm always going to act this way. I'm always going to have it." That's the opposite of what we're talking about. Alim l'dasha kli zayin hakadoshim shenitnu l'anam yavinu shavshmaim heim heim atachshitim shalom. These are our tachshitim, our weapons. Behem onu smeichim mesparim, and we rejoice and take pride in them. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Shenu zeichim l'chams. I'm always amazed. I have people, whether it's bachrim or older people, that they come to talk to me about certain struggles that they're having in avodas Hashem and with the yetzaharas. It's amazing to me, because these are people that want very much for me to respect them. Right? People from the shul, a talmidim of mine, they want me to respect them. And they'll come and they'll talk to me about about prostha yetzaharas. And they're open about it. You know, most people, their attitude is, "I don't need anybody, rabbi, knowing about my business. What do I have to talk to? What do I have to talk to?" Now, they wouldn't even, forget about talking to their own rav. Or to the own rabbi. They don't want to even talk to some other rav. Or you tell somebody, maybe you should go for therapy, you need a little bit of help. It's a total stranger that has a code of confidentiality that you can take, you go to jail if he tells anybody what your yetzara is. And you still don't want him to know about your yetzara. I'm always amazed how deeply Jews want to be better. How they really want to be better. And even if it means embarrassing, when I was home the other day, one of my fellows from shul was telling me about something that he has an inyan, a milchama with, that it's hard for me to believe that he's not ashamed to say to me. And he says, "Rabbi, help me. Help me." How many of us could do such a thing? How many times I talk to people, for instance, I mention that they're saying they're having a hard, that I'm a little bad with this, that this person, and so I said, maybe I could talk to that person. Are you kidding? If I even mention that I spoke to you, she'll never talk to me again. He'll never talk to me. You know, the whole from espionage, thing. Could you imagine? Ad kibekach, you have a person that wants, that's not only not ashamed, he goes and he talks to his rabbi, goes to talk to a rav, goes to talk to, because I want to be better. It's the most admirable thing in the world. I want to be better. He's embarrassed. You think he's not embarrassed to tell me that he has such an inyan? It's very embarrassing. It's very embarrassing. You have people that are living in quiet desperation. You have homes where they have husbands and wives that are at war with each other for 30, 40 years, and they can't talk to anybody because they're going to be ashamed. They always say it's because of a shidduch and it's not. They're ashamed. I understand that. It's a natural thing for a person to be embarrassed. When someone goes and they're prepared to talk because I want to be a better husband. How can I be a better husband? I want to be a better wife. Help me. How can I be a better wife? These are people fighting the Muhammads. There are many, many more than those who are the type that just say, no, still, we don't have to talk about it. But this is it. And the fact that I'm losing for all these years and this is what's going on in my life, better be a loser than what? Than in any way that anybody should know in the world that I have a Muhammad. And here, Tzimai is saying, what do you mean? Behem anu smeichem u'mispam. Sorry, it's late. Another second. But this is this paragraph. Behem anu smeichem u'mispam. A person who understands what we're learning here realizes that the Koyach of Yosef Tzadik tells us not only is there nothing to be embarrassed about, but fakir. You should be proud that you're trying to be better. You're in the Muhammad, you want to be better. You're trying to become better. It's Muhammad, it's hard. It means Hashem wants us to have swords. It's an adornment. It's your splendor and your glory. You're 120. The Baruch is going to say, how can we not talk to anybody about it? I don't know. I was embarrassed. And you let it go like that for your whole life? You never once. You didn't try to get at it. It's Hoyt Chavadarech. So a Hoyt Shalana. So a Hoda Shalana. That's our splendor and our glory. So a tachshit shalom, that's an adornment. Hakoyach shal cherev, hakoyach shal milchamis, lehe'avik lehilochem avur asiyas v'senis baruch. To be a warrior, to fight, in order to what? In order to observe Hashem's will, in order to live according to Hashem's will. And as Hashem, next week we're going to continue.